Okay, we're back with David Icke, my guest in the first hour of the show this evening. David, I've got to ask you the question. Explain to us, what are these reptilians?
Well, what happened, Ross, is that I, in the early 90s, started investigating, if you like, the five-sense level of this conspiracy, because I started coming across massive amounts of information. This synchronistic flow that my life took after I had an amazing experience in 1990-91. And when I wrote a book called And the Truth Will Set You Free in the mid-90s, I was able to put together the structure of how this whole manipulation conspiracy works today. And then I asked the question, well, when did this start? Because it was very clear that you couldn't put this together in 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years. So when did it start? And I started going back in subsequent books to try to find when this started. And you comfortably back to the time of the Crusades, the 1200s, when very significant secret societies like the Knights Templar and the Knights Hospitaller of St. John of Jerusalem, now known as the Knights of Malta and centered in the Vatican, were created. And still today, these secret societies have enormous influence on global events, not least the Knights Templar, who control the city of London and then the area known as the Temple, where the law is controlled from. And so I kept going back, and eventually I'm thousands of years BC and beyond, and I start to hit a recurring theme, which you find in every culture, and that is of some kind of interbreeding between humans and a non-human race that is often described in reptilian terms, not always. Which produced a hybrid race. I mean, even in the Bible, in Genesis, it talks about the sons of God, which in the true translation is the sons of the gods, who interbred with the daughters of men and created a hybrid race, the Nephilim. Now, this Nephilim, as the Bible calls it, and it goes under many different names around the world, in South Africa, in black South African lore, they're known as the Chitahuri, which translates as children of the python or children of the serpent. These hybrids are the ones that are the Illuminati bloodlines. This is why they are so obsessed with genetics and interbreeding with each other, and not inbreeding breeding outside of themselves. Because when you do that, the DNA that they want to hold very quickly dilutes. This is where the obsession with royal interbreeding, aristocratic interbreeding goes on, arranged marriages, and all this stuff, not on the basis of love, but on the basis of genetics. To them, breeding is like downloading two hard drives onto one, you know, and maintaining the code. What started happening was that I started this process of meeting people all over the world in endless different walks of life, in the banking system, working in shops, power dressing business women and stuff like that, and endless different walks of life who'd started telling me the same story. This happened over a period of about a year. And that is of seeing someone, often in positions of power, but not always, transform from a human form into a reptilian form and then back again. Sometimes it would be full body, sometimes it would be part of the body, sometimes it would just be the eyes would turn from a round pupil to a reptilian pupil. And again, you know, one of the greatest ways that we are kept in the box is by the suppression of knowledge, which leads to a suppression of our sense of possibility. So if you can suppress knowledge about what is possible, then people's perception of what is possible is diluted or held down to the same degree. And what I'm saying in that is that when you suppress knowledge of the nature of reality, i.e. it's illusory, you suppress the knowledge that when we look through our eyes, we're not seeing everything that exists in that space. We're seeing a fractional amount that exists in the space we're looking at, because the frequency range that our eyes can access is infinitesimally small compared with what actually exists there, and science is now beginning to confirm this. So if you perceive the physical body to be solid, if you perceive the, which it is impossible, it can't be, because it's made up of atoms which are not solid, and if you perceive that when you look through your eyes you see everything that exists in what you're looking at, then shape-shifting and stories of moving, seeing things move from one shape to another seem to be impossible. But when you realize how reality works, it's very straightforward. I mean, for instance, if I look at you or I look at anybody, what I'm seeing is the five sense level of that person. Of course I am, because that's all my eyes can access. But if you could either expand the frequency range that your eyes can access, or something beyond that comes into your visual frequency range, then suddenly you're going to see it. And you might see it momentarily while you're expanding into that frequency level, or it's coming into yours, and you'll go, "Crikey, did you see that? I've just seen someone change to something. What do you mean? They're perfectly normal. Look at them." And it's when people say, for instance, "I saw this UFO, and what happened was it just disappeared in front of my eyes." And people go, "What are you on, mate? It can't disappear in front of your eyes." Well, it hasn't. What it's done, it's changed its frequency, so it has left the frequency range that your eyes can access. And a lot of this stuff is going on with this shape-shifting, where people see something that is beyond the five senses, and then it comes back to five senses, and it seems to have disappeared.
Okay, well, we've got a posting on this, again, in the ATS. I've got Now That's Weird forum now on AboveTopSecret.com, right. So quite a few people have posted questions for you on there, knowing you were coming on the show. And a guy who posts as Riot Cummings says, "Finally, I would like to know," he asks a whole series of questions, and obviously we haven't got time to go through them all. He says, "Finally, I'd like to ask David how he would personally convince someone that reptilians are real. I'm talking about your ordinary guy on the street." Now how would you do that, David? Because as you say, people do blank these things off and say, "No, it's just impossible, therefore I'm not prepared to consider it." So how would you put the case across for the ordinary guy on the street to actually take this seriously?
I wouldn't. Because I'm not trying to convince anybody. You see, when you're trying to convince somebody of something, then basically you're just another kind of aspect of the system with a belief system for sale. What I'm putting out is information which people can either look at and make a judgment on, or choose not to look at it. Mm. Once I've given the information, then that's the end. I mean, what people think of what I say is none of my business. And if people are so locked in the five-sense reality, so locked in the left brain, then it's no good, you know, trying to convince them of anything, because until that left brain is unlocked, until that reality prison is removed, they're just not going to be able to open their minds to see it.
No, I agree. I agree.
What I'm finding, however, is that if you put out information and you put it out in a simple way and you back it up with the logical way that it can be possible, and you're not in a mode where you're trying to sell it or convince anyone, so people don't go on the defensive, "This guy's got a belief system to sell me." It's like the Jehovah's Witnesses turning up at the door. What happens, mm-hmm. even if people open them, that most of them go into defensive mode.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they know that these Jehovah's Witnesses people are here to convince them of something, to sell them a belief system, and ask them to put a check in the post eventually. Mm-hmm. When you're just putting out information and you're saying, you know, not only, you know, can you make up your own mind on this? You should make up your own mind, because, you know, you should question what I'm saying and look at the information, not just accept it because I'm saying it. Look at the information, and if it makes sense to you, not only does it think right to you, but it feels right to you intuitively, then flow with it and go with it some more and see where it leads. Trying to convince people is a waste of time. It's the last thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah, we've done this with the Phantom or Fraud Project. The whole idea of Phantom or Fraud wasn't to expose frauds. It was a case of putting information forward and let the public decide what they want to believe. All we try and do is bring the information forward as we find it. So in very much the same way, and I can understand that. Now, I've got an email come in from Brian Allen. Brian is a former guest on the show and has done some great work at Rosslyn with the Templars and stuff like that up in Scotland. And he says, "David, have you ever personally witnessed any shape changers actually changing shape in front of you?"
Well, I've seen eyes change, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people now who've seen this whole thing happening. But let me tell you a story that happened to me before I got into any of this, and it's a story that came back to me when other people were telling me later, when I was researching this stuff, what had happened to them, and I thought, my goodness me, that's what happened to me. Back in the late 80s, I was a national spokesman for the British Green Party, and we were going to have one great election result. It was in the 1989 European elections, And the polls showed that we were going to do well. So for the first time in Green Party history, Green Party spokesmen were invited onto the election programs to comment on the results coming in. And I arrived at Sky News in London for their election program. And when I arrived there, I was taken into the makeup room, which it seemed to be empty when I walked in to have makeup put on. There was no one there. And the lady said, someone will be along to see you in a minute. Okay, so I sat down and looked at the mirror, and then I realized there was someone to my right who was behind the door when I walked in, so I couldn't see him. And it was the former Prime Minister of Britain from 1970 to 74 who signed us into the Illuminati European Union, as it's become, Ted Heath. Mm. And, you know, being a friendly enough bloke, I just turned to him and I said, all right, mate, how you doing? And what followed, you know, just took me aback. First of all, Heath sat there, and he was just looking at the mirror. And when I said, all right, mate, how are you doing? He just turned his head, not his body, just his head, and he looked at me. And once his head had turned, he said, never moves. And then his eyes started at the top of my head. All I can say, Ross, is he scanned me down to my feet very slowly and then back again to the top of my head. And then he turned his head and faced the mirror. Not a word was spoken at any point. Mm. And when he was doing this scanning, I was looking into his eyes, and every part of his eye turned black. Not just the pupils and the color, but the whites of the eyes. The whole of the two eyes turned black. And as I say, I was into none of this stuff at the time. And we talk about making eye contact with people. Well, when he went into this black eye mode, there was no eye contact. There was no point where his eyes made any register with mine. I could only describe it as like looking into two black holes. And what I would say now, with a greater understanding, is into another dimension. Mm. And when I started researching this through the 90s and all that stuff, I must have been four, five, six people around the world who told me the same story about this process of seeing people's eyes turn black and like looking into them rather than at them. And funnily enough, I told this story on an American radio station, a mainstream station, funnily enough, in Chicago last week, and the presenter said something like that, very much like that, happened to me. And what we're looking at, Ross, and this Ted Heath story came into my research during the 90s, someone told me the story of how she was the wife of a warden at an infamous satanic area just outside of London. One of the stories she told was of seeing Ted Heath conducting a satanic ritual in the woods at night, and seeing him in the middle of this ritual shapeshift from Ted Heath into a reptilian figure. And she said, from that moment on, he started talking like the old transatlantic telephone line, where there were gaps between it, like he's coming from somewhere out there. She said, and the thing that fazed me about seeing the whole thing, because she was looking through the trees, was that no one else in the circle was at all taken aback by what happened, as if it was the most natural thing in the world. It's a story I've heard many times.
So that's what we're looking at, isn't it? That is quite frightening.
We're looking at the five sense level of Ted Heath and people like him, and therefore we're seeing the human level. But if we could see beyond that, we would see a figure that looked anything but human. And what you see when in that black eye mode is you're looking through the five sense human level of these people, which they wear like an overcoat, like a space suit, and you're looking into the dimension where they are. And I tell you what, it was a very, very dark experience when he went into black eye mode.
One thing I must ask you on that, David, there's a conspiracy theory, if you want to call it that, starting to do the rounds in America at the moment about what they call BEKs, black-eyed kids. Now, they're being described in much the same way as you've just described that, where the eyes are totally black and almost alien-looking, like greys. Have you heard anything about this particular
thing? Really strange you should say that, because I haven't. Now you've told me, I must go and give that a look, because I have not come across that. But having told you that story, well, it does fit.
Exactly, it does, yeah. Well, that's one perhaps we can talk about. We can get you back on the program in the future, because we're running a bit short on time. Okay. And I want to move on to Project Serpo. This is something that's had about 300 pages of discussion on ATS recently. And I just wonder, A, have you heard of it, first off?
kind of vaguely. If you tell me the concept of it, I can tell you more about it.
Okay, it's the slow disclosure of papers, allegedly from the US government, relating to 12 military personnel being exchanged on an alien exchange program with another planet between, I think, 64 and 76.
I've come across that story, yeah.
Now, I mean, it seems to go up and down. One week it's definitely a hoax, the next week, well, perhaps it might not be. I had Bill Ryan on the show recently, who's been bringing the story forward from the anonymous poster, and he's nobody's fool, Bill. I mean, he's an intelligent guy who's researched this thoroughly, and he's convinced it's true. Now, could something like that really take place?
Well, we're dealing outside this tiny, tiny box we call the world we think we live in. We're dealing with infinite possibility. Everything's possible. And, you know, the greatest defense mechanism that this system of control has is the movie, and that's all it is, that it sells to us as reality, is so incredibly different to what's actually happening, that that chasm of difference is its greatest defense, because people are so used to reality being a certain way that when you start talking about what you've just talked about, it's like, for a lot of people, it's like, you're off your head, mate. What are you on? It's not because it's true or not true. I've not researched it. I can't say that. It's because the chasm of difference is so great that people cannot literally open their minds to encompass the possibility, which, for all the reasons we talked about earlier in this chat, but for sure there is not just you know, what we might call extraterrestrial involvement in this planet. I prefer to talk about the interdimensional control of this planet, because there is a force, a race, which may not all be reptilian. I'm not sure it's not. It just seems to take a reptilian form very, very often in the research that I've done, that is manipulating this reality. It's almost like, you know, in a laboratory where there are these tanks, and people have arms going into the tank, and people, scientists come up and put their hands in these arms, and they're able to from outside the tank manipulate and do whatever they like with their experiments in the tank. Very symbolically, that's what the heck's going on here. We have entities that are manipulating this five-sense reality to their ends. And I think one of the ends certainly is to generate enormous amounts of low vibrational emotional energy, all based on a four-letter word called fear, which manifests in many other ways, like guilt and all these other low vibrational emotions that hold us in servitude and hold us in pain and hold us in under control. And if you are manipulating wars, you're manipulating terrorist acts, you're manipulating famines, you're manipulating fear of the future, what you're doing is generating through the human energy field enormous amounts of this low vibrational emotional energy, which these entities are feeding off. And that's not the only reason it's happening, but it's a massive reason why it's happening.
Okay, David, I'm going to have to stop you there, because we are running out of time. In about 60 seconds, can you tell us the question that they're all asking? Are we in the end times?
We're in the change times, no doubt about it. When I started on this in the early 1990s, I learned from many different sources, ancient and psychic and whatever, that we were in a point now where there was going to be a transformation of human consciousness, where we were going to go on to a totally different level of understanding and perception, when in effect the concrete casing was going to come off. And what we're in now is a tussle between those that wish to keep us in the box, knowing, and this is why this whole thing is intensified, this control is intensifying, and the desperation to get us all microchipped is being pushed on. It's because these guys know this spiritual transformation, this spiritual awakening is happening, that we're breaking out of the box because of vibrational influences and inspirations that are happening that have been long predicted. And so it's the end time of control, and it's the new time of freedom. It may not seem like that now, and I can, my God, can I understand why it doesn't seem like that? Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing is not the completion of control. we're seeing the control and that which seeks to control in its death throes. And we have we're at the fork in the road now. We can go with the control and the fascist Orwellian state, or we can go with the freedom. How quickly the freedom comes.
Excellent. David.
How many and how quickly we get off our butts and start expressing our spirituality in change instead of as escape.
David, thank you very much indeed. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure, Ross.
I hope we can get you back again very, very soon, because there's so many more questions.
Mate.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Cheers, Ross.
Cheers. Well, we always knew by having David Icke on the programme we were going to be talking about subjects that were going to raise eyebrows, and certainly the idea of Ted Heath turning into a shapeshifter. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, it's something that was apparently witnessed, and you should perhaps not discount it as quickly as you think. Now, I certainly hope David will come back and join us on the show again very soon. It's always an interesting interview, and I'd be interested to hear what you think of what some of the things David said today. So you can email me, ross@nettalkradio.co.uk, and we'll be back right after these words.